Just letting the tape run.
This is Barry Tyker of the University of Wisconsin Archives Oral History Project. Today is March 4th in the year 2004. I'm with Martha Casey, and we're at Margaret Bender's home, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Bender about her background and her career at the University of Wisconsin. Could you start out by talking a little bit about your childhood and your early schooling, grade school, high school, and any teachers who influenced you?
Oh, I grew up in a small town. I went to Mount Holyoke, a women's college in Massachusetts, and then we got a bachelor and a master's degree there, and from there went to Yale.
Could we go back a little further to when you were living at home with your parents? Where did you grow up?
In East Hampton, Massachusetts.
In East Hampton. And what did you, could you talk a little bit about your early grades and your early teachers in like elementary school and high school? Were there any that you remember as being particularly influential to you?
Well, there was one in particular in Latin, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
I took four years of Latin.
Let's talk about him or her.
It was an elderly woman, as a matter of fact. I don't even remember her name anymore. But as a matter of fact, they let us have a class of just three people the last year. So I learned a lot of Latin and enjoyed it very much.
What was there about her that you enjoyed as a teacher?
Just that she knew her subject.
Yeah. And were there any subjects, classes that you took in high school in the sciences, for example, like chemistry or botany that you or biology that you particularly remember?
No. They didn't offer botany. I had chemistry. Mm-hmm. I never took physics in high school, no.
What about your parents? Tell us, and any siblings that you may have had, tell us about your parents and about their attitude toward education.
Oh, their attitude was that I could do it, that I could go as far as I wanted, and they would help me as far as they could. Mm-hmm. They themselves had very limited education, and so they were anxious that their children could go as far as they wanted.
That's great.
I had a sister and a brother, but both much younger. Mm-hmm. My brother is still living. He was himself a teacher.
Mm-hmm. What did your father do, Margaret?
My father was a plumber.
Okay.
And what made you decide to go to Mount Holyoke?
Well, first of all, it was quite close. I lived in a part of Massachusetts that had, I don't know whether you know the part where there are many, many, many colleges. Is this Smith, University of Massachusetts, Amherst, Mount Holyoke, and Springfield College are all in a very, very small area. And Mount Holyoke seemed to me the most desirable. Mm-hmm.
Did you visit it before?
No.
Yeah, so you just went to...
Also, it had to be very close. Yeah. I could not afford transportation.
Oh, okay. Did your parents contribute? Did they pay for your college education or contribute? Or did you get scholarships? Do you recall?
Well, they contributed what they could. I also had scholarships, and I borrowed money.
Mm-hmm. Did you work in college?
I'd say, yes, I did.
What was your job?
Oh, a variety of things. And the college had for students, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, work in the dorms or the union or something like that.
No. Working and cleaning out the labs and this.
Oh, that's very nice. So, you got into. Did you have any particular preference for a course of study when you entered college? Were you thinking about science at that point?
Yes, I was.
And that was because?
I liked it in high school.
Okay. What about science teachers that you had at Mount Holyoke? Were there any classes or teachers that stand out particularly in your mind?
Yes, the professor of organic chemistry stood out enormously.
Why was that?
She was very good. Dorothy Hahn. Hmm. And she was the one who encouraged me to go on and got me the scholarship at Yale.
Oh. So you, how long were you at Mount Holyoke? For four?
4 years.
4 years. Yeah. And your major was, when did you declare chemistry? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay. Did you have a minor?
don't think you had to have one there.
Okay.
I don't remember, as
okay.
a matter of fact.
Margaret, it must have been unusual to have a woman on the faculty of the chemistry department, although I know Mount Holyoke's always been somewhat known for that.
They had many women.
They had many women even at that time?
Oh, yes, they had mostly women.
Oh, all right, even then, okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. When did you start college? About?
33. I graduated in 37.
Okay.
Got my master's in 39.
Mm-hmm. What about going to college in the Depression? Do you remember the Depression as an influence or an impact at all?
Believe me, let's put it this way. I was in the town, one of the three worst hit in the country.
Oh, boy.
So I remember it quite vividly.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you tell me any anecdotes or anything that you remember particularly about it, or is it just a general impression that you remember?
Well, I can tell you when I was at Yale that for 1 year I ate oatmeal for breakfast and lunch entirely.
Did you continue to eat oatmeal after you left Yale? Or
Not very often, no. But that was very cheap.
Yes.
And I was already in debt and didn't want to get any farther in debt.
Yeah, I'll bet that a lot of students made that kind of sacrifice.
Well, yes, what are you going to do? You don't want to go any farther in debt than you have to.
Yeah. Let's go back to Mount Holyoke for just a moment. When you graduated from Mount Holyoke, did you have any career ideas or plans at that point in time? Do you recall?
I got a master's there first.
Oh, at Mount Holyoke you got a master's?
At Mount Holyoke.
Oh, I didn't realize they gave advanced degrees. I didn't realize that they gave advanced degrees at Mount Holyoke.
Yes, they did. They gave master's.
Okay.
Yes.
So did you study with Professor Hahn?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And then went to Yale.
Okay.
Well, as a matter of fact, I had the wonderful, what I thought was a brilliant idea of giving it, of branching out and going abroad. It was then, you see, 1939.
Oh, yeah. Good time to go abroad.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I got myself a job in Istanbul.
You did, Margaret?
Oh, yes. I had a job teaching in a women's college in Istanbul. And I was all signed, sealed, and delivered. The war broke out. I never got there.
Oh, that's too bad.
Much to my father's relief.
Did you ever get to Istanbul at any point in your life?
No, I never did. Oh, I never got there abroad.
That's too bad. When you graduated from Mount Holyoke, how did you end up at Yale?
Well, that was the choice to begin with. Dorothy Hahn had connections at Yale, and she got me a scholarship at Yale.
Mm-hmm. Is Hahn spelled Hahn?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you're at Yale, and you're going for, before we get to Yale, one other question. Did you have a master's thesis that you had to write, anything like that?
Yes, indeed. I wrote both a bachelor's and a master's thesis.
Could you talk about those for a moment, please?
No, because I can't remember it. That's a long time
ago. I know, that's a long time ago. Okay, we'll put you back at Yale. Talk a little bit about your years at Yale. You were obviously there for a chemistry PhD.
Yes, right.
Are there any particular teachers and classes that stand out in your mind?
Well, I was a student of Werner Bergmann's. Mm. Organic chemistry again. Mm-hmm. Got my PhD there.
And what was Professor Bergmann, what was his area of specialty, do you know? Do you recall?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, organic or physical chemistry? Was he an organic chemist or a physical chemist?
Organic.
Or organic, yes. Okay, yeah.
And was he what we call today a major professor, or was he your mentor?
Yes, he was a major professor.
Yeah. And how closely did you work with him?
I shared a lab with him.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
What were you doing in the lab? What kind of work were you doing there?
The regular organic lab and regular organic work.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any research work for him, or TA for him, or anything like that?
I didn't do any TAs, no. Okay. But I did do research work for him, yes.
What kind of research work was it, do you recall?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Margaret, was Yale using teaching assistants in those days? Or you can't remember either?
No, I can't. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's a while ago.
Yeah.
Were there any other teachers that you recall whom you worked under at Yale?
Sturdivant.
And he was also a chemist, or she?
Was he a chemist? Okay. Yes. There were no women. Women, I assure you, on the faculty at Yale at that time, or any major university.
Why not? Did they just not hire?
That's right. My word. A woman at a men's university?
Oh, okay.
Oh, my word.
Well, how about fellow graduate students? Did you, were there any other women in graduate who were colleagues of yours in graduate school at Yale?
I think there's one other.
Mm-hmm. So it was mainly a man's world in the
world. Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
About how many graduate students would there have been at Yale then? Or were there others in Bergman's group? Or you were his only student?
No, there were a few. How many, I don't know. But there were several of us.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's quite a small university, you know.
Oh, yeah. I thought of going to Yale, too, actually. But as you said, there were two women maybe there.
There were more... I knew one other. There may have been others. There was one woman who worked as a postdoc for one of the major professors. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten her name. Martha somebody. I remember. But other than that, I don't remember the others.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I met my husband there, too.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes.
And he was...
Physical chemist.
Did you have... were there... any times where chemists got together, students and professors, for parties or for seminars and socializing, anything like that, do you recall?
Socializing, I don't remember, no. Okay.
Was there a pretty good atmosphere in the chemistry department?
Oh, yes, yes.
A lot of working together? And,
yes, right.
Okay. And you wrote a dissertation there, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Now, you've had practice. You did your undergraduate thesis and your MA thesis. What was your PhD thesis on?
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, Margaret, then.
No. So you did enjoy your time at Yale.
Oh, yes, very much so.
And what years were you at Yale, approximately, do you recall?
Me, 1939 to 41. 39
to 41. So the war was underway. Where did you go after you graduated from Yale?
I taught 1 year at the Connecticut College for Women. And then I went to, I worked for one of the guys who had been at Yale and then was in business for himself. And I've forgotten his name now.
Okay, let's talk about the Connecticut College for Women for a while. That, by the way, is a school that Judy Craig considered when she was her undergraduate.
She
said Connecticut
Mar, yeah.
College. She went to Bryn Mawr eventually, but that was one of the three or four mm-hmm. that she mm-hmm. had considered. So what did you teach at the City College, or Connecticut?
Chemistry.
Chemistry. Did you enjoy the teaching experience?
Yes, I enjoyed teaching, mm-hmm. yes.
And this was, again, organic chemistry?
Of course.
Why did you stay for only a year?
Because I had an offer to work for in some research for somebody else.
Oh, for somebody else. Now, were you married at this point?
Had no.
You still not married. What did you do for whom did you work, and what were your tasks in that year following your...
That's what I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember who the guy was. It was a chemist, and I did some research for him, and I honestly can't remember his name.
Hmm.
I enjoyed it very much, I know that. He published a couple of papers.
Do you remember anything about what kind of research it was?
No, I don't.
Okay. What led you to leave after 1 year?
Get married.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go, yeah.
And that was in 1942? Was that
41?
41.
Married in 41.
Okay, where were you married?
In Cleveland.
Oh, in Cleveland. And that was...
Paul's home.
Oh, Paul. Your husband's name was Paul.
That's my husband's name is Paul, yes.
Okay. Is Paul. And so where did you and Paul go to it then?
Paul came out here, and a temporary job here which became permanent.
No, at the University of Wisconsin. Oh, my goodness. So that was in 1943.
That's right.
Now, let's talk about his temporary job, because that's a very interesting time frame there, 1943. We are right in the middle of the Second World War.
That's right.
So was he brought in because there was a teacher shortage and they were looking for people?
Somebody who had been here had left, they all thought temporarily, but he never came back, uh-huh. So Paul had the job.
Yeah, I've heard that story many times over the years. That will happen during wartime. Somebody will leave, and then they hire a temporary replacement, and that person ends up staying, spending his career there. So you came along with your husband, obviously. You were married. Where did you live when you first moved to Madison? Do you recall?
Yes, down near Breeze Terrace, near the stadium, in an apartment down there.
Do you ever go to the football games?
I went once or twice.
Yeah.
I'm not terribly interested in football. The ball is, yeah.
We lived, my wife and I lived a few blocks from the stadium once. And,
That area, yeah.
You were certainly aware of football games because you could hear that noise level going up and down a few blocks away.
And you must have had cars parked in your driveway, too.
Yes, we did. We could never get out of our... I guess things don't change, don't change too much. So,
I just wanted to ask, Margaret, when did you meet Paul? When you first went to Yale or on that second time? Doesn't matter. I mean, did you know him a long time at Yale?
I knew the whole time I was at Yale. He was in one of my classes.
He was in one of your classes?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's interesting. So your husband taught here?
Yes, he did.
And was his job involved, did it involve research at all, do you recall?
Oh, yes, he did a lot of research, okay. Yes.
And what was his area of specialization, do you recall?
No, he did a lot of instrumental work.
Mm-hmm.
And he's built up an instrument center here, as Martha and Marbury knows.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was the first head of the chemistry instrumentation laboratory, which included mass spec, NMR, and things. But he's co-author of books on physical chemistry.
That's right.
And I took classes from him, too. He taught the theory of nuclear magnetic resonance.
Oh.
Yeah, that type of thing. So.
Well, the instrumentation lab was a pretty big deal, wasn't it?
It's gotten bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
But yes, it was a big deal, and he organized it originally.
Yeah.
I've heard very good things about that that lab. When he came, he was a temporary person, and then he became a permanent.
Right.
And so he was on tenure track when they put him on
that's
permanent.
Right.
So you came along, and you were living in Breeze Terrace. How long before you joined the faculty at UW?
I was never on the staff.
How long before you became involved in the chemistry department? Let me put it that way.
I was never involved in the chemistry department here.
When did you first get a job doing scientific work at Wisconsin?
Okay. I was
were you and Paul here? You and Paul here 1 year, 4 years before you started to go back and work as a scientist.
I was trying to remember all the things that I worked with so many people. I worked in the Center for Climatic Research for a long while, you know.
No, I don't know it actually, Margaret. This is interesting. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
That was second. And I also taught chemistry to nurses for extension, and the exact dates of these things.
Okay. That's not important. So you did a variety of different activities in the field of science here at the university.
That's right.
Could you talk for just a minute about the Center for
Climatic Research? Yes.
Climatic Research. Could you talk a little bit about what you did there and who you worked with, if you can recall that?
I did a lot of work, and exactly what I did, I can't remember. I published quite a bit up from there.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret, when you changed jobs and you taught the nurses and you were in this center, was I don't know how to put it, was it your choice to change, or were these jobs just always very temporary?
I don't understand your question. You mean, did they just give it to me as a one-year job instead?
Yes. We can't remember that either.
No, the Center for Climatic Research was not a temporary job. Mm-hmm. That was a permanent job. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that okay.
Yeah.
And you were also first director of the UW Radiocarbon Lab.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a little bit later on in your career. I think you started in the early 60s.
Yeah, that is in the Center for Climatic Research.
Oh, that is?
That is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's a different name. I didn't realize.
That's the same thing, yes.
Was it originally called the Center for Climatic Research and then it was changed?
I didn't know they had different
oh, okay.
names.
Okay, well, that was very interesting because you were the director for for about 18 years, I think, 1963 to 81.
That's right.
Do you remember anything about your years as director, about the lab itself?
Just remember that I enjoyed doing a lot of work there, that was all.
Is that where you did the radiocarbon dating work?
That's right, that's right.
I'm an anthropology major from college.
I see.
So radiocarbon dating was a big deal in anthropology because you could learn about people's past.
That's right.
Through looking. Did you do anything about studying like primitive peoples and their... Didn't you do something with diets, studying primitive people's diets through... was it called RC-14 or something like that?
No, that I did not do. Okay. Did you bring me any dates to be done?
Any what?
Did you bring me any samples?
No.
Oh.
No. Sorry, I can't help you there.
I think she was more the person that knew how to measure the carbon 13 to carbon 14 ratio. And that may have helped the anthropologist, you know, determine the diet. But
yeah, I heard some, I'm talking to someone, they said that some of the work there was in radiocarbon dating.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was my field.
That was your field. So that was the area that you spent your time with. Do you recall any of your colleagues in that field, in that area?
You mean here?
Yeah, here, while you were here as lab director for those 18 years or so.
No, I don't.
Okay. Where was your office located?
Oh dear.
Well, I'm just interested.
Oh yes, it was over in the meteorology building.
Oh, yeah.
In the basement.
Oh, and you had a nice laboratory space?
Oh yes,
there?
I did, yeah. Yes.
Do you remember anything? This is getting kind of probably a little too picky, but do you remember anything about how your lab was funded? Anything like that?
I think they charged for some of the things that I didn't have. They didn't concern me with that,
okay.
At all.
Yeah, you were...
Remember, this is over 20 years ago.
Yeah, right. I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out what we can find there. Hold on. You said that you had several publications that you did in this area.
Yes.
Do you remember anything about any of them in particular? Any particular area that they might have dealt with? Was it the radiocarbon dating?
That's right.
Okay. And it was work that you did and you enjoyed?
Oh, yes, very much so. I think if Martha wants to look, there's a volume in there of the publications of the radiocarbon dating.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you, I was going to ask you, how many papers on radiocarbon did you have? I mean, 10, 20, 50? Okay.
It wouldn't be 50, no, but might have been 20, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember that one.
Did you stay in the basement of the meteorology building the whole time you were in the lab?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Was the space adequate? Did you have enough room?
Oh, yes, plenty of room, yes.
Yeah. And did you work closely with any departments, or were you kind of an independent organization?
Kind of independent,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. What about other women scientists on campus? Did you know any at that time through those years that you recall?
No.
No. Were there many, or is it just that you can't recall?
I couldn't recall.
Okay.
Okay. You knew Betty Hirschfelder.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, talk a little bit about, I interviewed Betty Hirschfelder probably 7 or 8 years ago, a very wonderful person. Could you talk a little bit about her?
Well, sure. We knew her very well. We took her out to lunch once a week, as a matter of fact, for many years.
Did you ever talk about science stuff with her? Or?
No. You see, she'd been a mathematician.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't, and she didn't know anything about chemistry at all.
Had you ever met her husband, Joseph Hirschfelder?
Oh, we knew Joe long before we knew Betty.
Oh, really? How did you come to meet Joe, and how did you?
Well, Joe was the reason Paul got the job here.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, you see, Paul's major professor at Yale was a guy called Akerlof.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
Okay, well, Akerlof is a brother-in-law of Joe Hirschfelder. And he recommended Paul to Joe.
As the temporary replacement.
That's right.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And that's how Paul came out here and stayed.
So and that's how you got to meet Joe Hirschfelder.
That's right.
And did he then marry Elizabeth later on, or did you just not know her early on?
Oh, he may have married her someone after that, because I remember their wedding, yes.
Yeah, Joe had quite a reputation here on campus
sure.
For his research. He was really a very powerful person.
Oh, yes.
What kind of a person was he?
Oh, a very nice person.
Yeah.
he wasn't much as a lecturer, but when you talk to him individually, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
He could explain things very well, mm-hmm. but he was not a good lecturer.
He wasn't a good lecturer. And did Elizabeth work much at the university, do you recall?
Yes, she had been. She was a mathematician, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And she had been in the mathematics department, I believe.
Okay. Okay. Did you, when you came here in your role as a scientist, did you ever do any teaching at the UW?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's too bad.
You said you did an extension, Margaret. Is that...
Yes, but that was, I didn't do extension. Remember the time that I came here, there were no women teaching at the university.
Yeah.
That was a no-no.
That was a no-no. It was like at Yale? It was sort of a men's club? Is that?
That's right, that's okay. Right.
When did that start to change? Do you recall?
No.
So you were kind of, in a sense, one of the first people in the science field there who was working for the university as a woman. Is that an accurate statement or not?
I don't think so. A man from Betty Hirschfelder.
Oh, Betty Hirschfelder. So there were a few of you.
That's right, yes.
But not a terribly
that's right.
great number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Margaret, when you came here with Paul from Yale, did you assume that you would get a job in science, or that you just didn't know one way or the other, or?
I just hoped, that was all.
Mm-hmm.
You hoped you would.
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you have to pursue it, or did they pursue you? Do you recall?
They pursued me.
They pursued you. Who pursued you? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay. And so you had those for a while. You had these temporary positions, and then you got that permanent position, more or less permanent, in the
meteorology,
UW radiocarbon lab.
That's right.
Yeah, and that lab had been going before you came.
No.
Oh, that's right. You were the first director. I'm sorry.
Right.
I knew that.
It's now closed, as a matter of fact.
It did. Did it close after?
They had a couple people after me, and then it closed.
Do you have any idea why it closed? Was it just something whose time had passed, or? Or funding became scarce, or?
I would hesitate to say.
Okay.
I think it was a funding issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's often the time with those independent labs. You have a rough life. Do you remember anything about any of the people who were the chancellors or presidents, I guess they were called at the time of the university, Fred Harvey Harrington or any of those people? Did you ever have any cause to?
No.
No. Yeah. And E.B. Fred was already gone, wasn't he?
He was still here.
He was still here, but he wasn't president anymore. I think he quit that in 58, didn't he? Something like that.
Well, I was here. Yeah. That would be all right.
Yeah.
He was still here.
He was still here. Did you ever talk to E.B. Fred?
No.
Oh, okay.
And this is a big university.
Yes, it's a very big university. I've only talked to E.B. once in my life. He's quite a guy. What led you to decide to retire from the university?
Paul. I was ready to continue indefinitely, but Paul had already retired,
mm-hmm.
and he retired at 60, 61 or 62, mm-hmm. and I was still going. I was 60. I turned 65 in May, and by the end of October, he said he just couldn't stand being alone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I had to quit.
So you quit reluctantly. You would have.
That's right. I'd have been happy to continue.
Mm-hmm. So what was it that you enjoyed about your work?
I just liked doing science, that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, okay, that's a perfectly good answer. Talking about your husband for a few moments, did he enjoy his career at the university?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So and he was in the chemistry department. Did you get to know any of the other chemists?
Oh, yes.
Could you talk about any of them that you might recall? Or was Irv Shane there at the time? Or?
Yes, we know the Shanes, Irv and Millie, yes.
Yeah. Any comments about them?
No, they're very nice people, yeah. That's all.
They're sure. That's a pretty good synopsis right there. What about yourself? Do you have any colleagues that you particularly recall with fondness from your years at the university?
No, not particularly.
Okay. And so could you summarize your career at the university for me? How did you feel about it? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it very much,
mm-hmm.
and I would have continued indefinitely if I had been able to.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty strong phrase, I think.
Margaret, you were the first director, but you didn't have to worry about where funding for the center was coming from. You were not the person that had to go out and fight.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Who was your parent? Who took care of that kind of thing? You don't remember? I mean,
they never discussed it with me.
They didn't discuss it with you. Okay. You were the scientific person.
No, I think people paid for some of it. One of the things I'm proudest of is that sometimes I would get a sample, and then somebody would say, "Well, now I've sent this to a Japanese lab, and I got this answer, and I sent it to another lab, and I got this answer. Will you tell me what the correct answer is?" So I was regarded as being the last answer, you see, as being the correct answer.
Mm-hmm. I can believe it.
So you were the expert.
Yeah, I was the expert.
Oh, that was a nice. Yeah, I could see why you didn't want to leave that job. That's pretty nice. After you retired, did you maintain any contact with either your the lab you worked with or the university? Do you recall?
Well, yes, I was in contact with the laboratory for a short time because the guy who had been working with me was doing the work.
So you helped him, you assisted him?
I gave him advice whenever necessary, yes.
Yeah. Do you recall who that gentleman was?
Oh, yes, Ray Stevenson.
Oh, could you tell me a little bit about Ray?
Well, he's an interesting person. He has actually only had a high school education.
Huh?
So I was surprised when he took over from me. He couldn't write the papers, but somebody else helped him write the reports and so on.
What skills did he have?
He was very good at mechanical things, you mm-hmm. see, and I had taught him how to run the radiocarbon thing and how to do everything there.
Hmm. So how long did he remain at the lab? Do you have any idea?
About 3 years. Okay. Then he retired.
Then he retired.
Yeah.
Who took over for him?
It was some woman I did not know.
By then, she was someone
yeah.
new. What about your husband? Did he maintain contact with the chemistry department?
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some, yes, certainly. Some. And, Margaret, was Isabel?